G'day, it's Moffy from Triple M and Listener, and we're catching up with the candidates for the upcoming New South Wales state government elections for the seat of Coffs Harbour. Joining me right now, Tia Alliston for Coffs Harbour, is part of the Vote One Legalised Cannabis New South Wales Party. Tia, g'day.
Hi, Moffy. Thanks for inviting me aboard. Moffy, I hope you don't mind, but I'd firstly like to just pay recognition and acknowledgement and honour to our Gabanga country here. Our elders, past, present, and, of course, our young generation is particularly important into the future. So thank you, Moffy.
Tia, tell me why you're running.
Oh, Moffy, look, I could tell you many reasons, but the most reason is because, I'm not sure if you're aware, but I live in the Argyle Estate. My backyard is one of the last remaining corridors into the township. It has also been under threat just prior to the lockdowns. We were proposed to be redeveloped. We were told that the potential to move us is on the agenda, but they didn't know where to. I believe all these things have been unpacking under this current national government, state MP, who has just constantly disrupted everybody's entire space here in our electorate. And when it knocked on my door, Moffy, I'm very bonded with my community here. I have a little Gumbanga baby now. I have two Bunjalungs and I have two Yagles. And, you know, land is very passionate to us. We're very connected. We're very, very deeply knowledgeable. And, so all of these reasons, Moffy, and knocking at my door and our vulnerable community here having no voice, I want to represent them. I kind of was, you know, my voice was already going. And, so that's, I guess, the main reason, Moffy, why I'm a candidate here for legalised cannabis. I believe legalised cannabis, their policy, we can bring all of these solutions to the table, including the one that Argyle State's facing now. I know a lot of our homes are impacted with terrible and very significant damage due to mould and flooding and being in an estate where they developed over, different little tributaries. So that's led to, you know, significant impacts on the community that have been here for a long time. Now, a lot of these properties we've watched in the last even throughout the lockdowns, we've watched them actually be refurbished. These could have been refurbished at a much cheaper cost if hemp was available then. The resources available from hemp are just incredible. They're mould resistant, they're fireproof, and our young generation and their innovators and creators they are, they can look into waterproofing these materials for building. They're going to be less harmful to us, you know, in building. You know, the projects are endless. The employment, the young people that I talk to, they're really excited about the new opportunities they have when hemp is legal. It allows them to look at the industries that they're prevented to get to, especially once we have these driving ludicrous laws lifted. And I have to say ludicrous because a cannabis user can function quite well. They can regulate quite well, stay in routine. They can get on with the day. They can work in their work. However, getting themselves there is a fundamental issue that's costing, you know, 77,000 people on average criminalisation, you know, in our court system. Money that could be spent in better directions and funneled through to our services and our police force, you know, so they can actually address more serious and violent crimes in our communities.
So do you think then that you talk about with driving that if you have cannabis in your system, it has no effect on you when you're driving a motor vehicle?
Well, look, I disagree with that because if I was to use cannabis at 9:30 at night when my body needs it, I'm in no way thinking about getting in my motor vehicle to go anywhere. I'm thinking about the pain relief, being able to go to bed, being able to get a full night's sleep, and being able to get up and go to work the next morning and get my kids off to school, my grandchildren off to school, without being pulled over and showing that I have cannabis in my system from the night before. And sadly within 12 hours, within 4 hours, the effects and the cannabinoids are wearing off. They're slowing down and decreasing in the system and travelling through and just like any other medication. it's, you know, you need to take a Panadol 4 hours later. And that's, you know, that's a big liver toll if you've got to do that every day, constantly. Not to mention other opiates, which are more harmful and addictive.
What about for people who, and you say about if you have a night time, you're not going to hop in the car. What about people who, you know, I guess have a joint in the morning and then jump straight into the car?
Well, look, that depends. I'm sure that people that jump into do that are quite aware that if they weren't able to drive, they wouldn't. Now, I know there's a lot of conditions that people, endure. OCD, I'll use that as an example. A person with OCD, if they're triggered with that, the antipsychotic pathway, they're allowed to drive. Now, that antipsychotic only needs one other combination mixed with that, and it makes a huge impairment on that person. However, cannabis has helped that OCD person slow down a little, and enough to still navigate properly and not be rushing and maybe overshooting the driving capabilities, because I know that can be also problematic. So I have to disagree that somebody shouldn't be able to jump behind the wheel after a joint, especially with certain conditions where they're travelling in discomfort otherwise. I feel that just in statistics, more people that are using combinations of alcohol and prescribed medications are the cause of our road tolls. Cannabis users, if mixed with alcohol, yes, they should be punished. I think that still needs to stand. I don't agree with, the mixing of the two, and especially if the limits have been breached. Alcohol does have a significant tool there for police to use. And if alcohol is breached past that, and if the P-platers are driving and they shouldn't be, then yes, they still need to be penalised. They need to know the importance, because alcohol is one of our major factors of road death on our roads.
Tia, we obviously don't have a huge amount of time, but one of the things I've spoken to all the candidates about is one of the local things here, and that's the Jetty Foreshore development. Where do you stand on that project?
Oh, look, I want legalised cannabis to take over as quickly as possible. I'd like to know, I have a lot of questions for Gomez, because I have to apologise to our friend Tony on Labor, Tony Judge, because I asked him a significant question, and that was about the land prior to the project here at the jetty. And apparently there may have been a sell-off, but we as the fundamental community aren't to know these things. And only one person apparently knows, and that's Gomez. So I have great concern about people that are vulnerable there. But as for the jetty, I believe that we gather a lot of licensing revenue. All of these licences over the last 3 years have increased, because I have a daughter with a jet ski and I wanted to get a licence. My daughter works, but she's still saving up for her licence because they have increased so much. This money, this revenue, is the state revenue that's supposed to be gathered and saved for the fundamental purpose of building new boat ramps, sustaining the area around there, making sure the recreational value is there for not only our communities but our tourist industry. And it's an absolute mess. It's an absolute mess. And I don't even want to ask where the money... Did they sell off the land to use that money to keep funneling the sand, dredging that sand? Over to... they've made a nice bank, mind you, on the other side for surfing. But that's beside the point. It's not going to stay there. It's going to block up. It's going to continue until we have a government and legalised cannabis can bring all these solutions to the table and resurrect this project and fix it.
Obviously, some of those claims are speculation around that, but what do you want to see down there?
Oh, well, I don't want to see the foreshores project that's been put on the table. Nobody in the community wants to see that happen or unpack itself any further. We want more recreational space. And to have a space actually developed for proper parking in what was I thought would be the council land package, where we have some vulnerable people set up. But moreover, all we have is tourists coming in their very high-class, luxury lifestyle packages and camping there for maybe one, two, three nights. And so this is not fair. these people can actually afford to stay somewhere, either in one of our parks, there are parks full, then why aren't we setting up this space so they're paying something, you know, an affordable rate, so they can keep travelling and keep benefiting our communities everywhere, but mainly in putting something into our community as well. That revenue could be used to prevent our build-up of the vulnerable aspect and socio-economic impacted due to not having a good governance in cost and electorate, or other electorates that have been significantly impacted, have a high increase of investment properties, some sitting empty, and more sadly, the higher increase of homelessness.
Well, Tia, we've run out of time. The election coming up March 25, all the best for it.
Thank you so much, Moffy. Thank you so much. I'm feeling really confident, more and more confident. It's been tricky. I've got to learn a lot more, and I do study. I love studying. I love education, so that's my benefit. I'll go from teaching to taking a rightful place here in Coffs for, you know, our people here.
Well done, Tia. Tia Alliston for Coffs Harbour, running for the Vote 1 Legalised Cannabis New South Wales Party for the upcoming election. And you can catch up with our interviews with the other candidates as well. Just go to Listener and search Coffs State Elections.